block the text fingers, you know. We got to put all that in there. That's what happens when technology changes. You got to put all that into prayer. But we're not going to do that today. Let's not do that today. Let's just pray a regular prayer. Father, we honor you. We praise you. We pray thy blessings upon your word, that you would have your way in me and in our people as we join in together to understand what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Psalm 37, 1 through 9, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. We need to understand, as a matter of fact, as saints of God, we need to do a better job at advertising how blessed we are. Some people get turned off by this whole Christian walk and this thing about church because we always complaining like we don't have any help that comes from the Lord. We need to be careful how we present our Christianity to people. Amen. We do more talking about each other in the church, other folk outside the church, than we talk about what happened in the Word of God. What did God say, or what happened to me in my prayer this morning, and what is God speaking in my life? We do too much complaining. We get too much identified. I'm sick. I'm this. But how about when God touched your body? Did you tell anybody that? No. The folk you told that you were sick, they still think you sick. They're still praying that you get well. You're already well, but you didn't go back and tell. See, we got to understand this thing. Psalm 37, the Psalm of David. David is trying to say, look, as a believer and as a follower of Christ, we need to be careful how we look upon those that seem like they have it going on. Amen. You ever hook up with somebody you thought they had it going on? And you found out they didn't? I mean, they were really putting it on. They messed you up. They thought, you know. You ever go work for a company you thought this company had it going on? You got on the inside track. That's how some churches look like they got it going on. But when you get on the inside track, you find out they real folk with real problems and real issues. You find out it's a real family affair. Folk trying to make it. Folk trying to get along with one another. Folk got this, that going on. But see, when you all on one accord, we all want to call with Christ, it makes a difference. But there's some folk just putting on to be putting on so they can get you to follow them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Folks struggling, you don't even know it. They got this nice big car outside, struggling on the inside. A pork and beans getting nasty after 5 days straight. You ain't got no hot dog to go with it. We need to get our priorities straight. We really need, come on, somebody. Come on, help me with here have a pork and bean. Come on, help me. I know Bush has got them all different styles, you know, grilled and. It's all about, you know, what is this life really about? I'm a realist. I tell folks, I'm grown up now. You can tell me what you got to tell me. Let it fall where it fall. Hey, if it affects me, it affects me. If it breaks my heart, let it roll. But I don't like going around thinking one thing and it really something else. Amen. You think you all in love. Fret not thyself for evildoers. They shall soon be cut off. As believers, you got to be careful. We can't get caught up in what the world is doing. We ought to be mindful, but don't get caught up in it. Because we can get distracted. See, we know more about the world than we know about the Word. There ought to be a balance. I got my current events, and I got my Jesus. I got my current events, and I got my Bible. You got to have a balance. Don't get all your information from the television. Because I tell you, what they tell me on TV, I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, have mercy. When they said Wall Street is falling, God said, I have not fallen. When they said the banks are failing, God said, I'm not failing. Put not your trust and confidence in men. Don't let folks that look like they got it going on make you feel bad, make you think you don't have it going on. Most of the time when we get all caught up in what folks think, they ain't said a word to us. It's what we think they think. Just like the Israelites said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Don't be fooled. Give me a regular person. Amen. Don't give me no trumped up person. Give me a regular person. Amen. Somebody I can talk to. Somebody I can deal with. And you know, I'm just tired of all these deep people. Some folks, they just do too deep. I am about deep because if it get too deep, how are they going to get up out of it? Just give me straight words. Don't get deep on me. Don't have me going all over here and all over there and everything, having these angelic moments. I'm just trying to be real. But as a believer, if you're not careful, you're caught up in stuff. Your faith in your Christian walk may begin to waver and be compromised because your desires are headed in the wrong direction. Many of us would say that. I said it when I first got saved, too. One time I said, I was better off when I was out of the world. Boy, you get saved, boy, stuff really changed. Really changed. You know, you don't get as many hugs as you used to get. Because evil will hug you. You know, you messing your life up. There's a bunch of folk messing their lives up. And they will embrace you in the nonsense. They, you know, with folk that you will be your home when you're out there messing up, they ain't going to tell you, hey, man, you want to stop messing up your body. They be like, hey, man, can I get over here to that? Oh, see, okay, all right. This ain't for this crowd. This is down the street. I'm sorry, I got my messages mixed up today. The Bible's very clear about the destiny of the wicked and the destiny of the upright. There's a distinct difference in where the wicked are going and where the upright are going. And you ought not be saved and be wicked. We ought not have no double agents in the body of Christ. Sunday saint, Monday ain't. Salvation through Jesus Christ involves living a life that is driven and led by the Holy Spirit. Where do we get the victory? Where do we get the power? Where do we get the wherewithal to live this life for Christ? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you got to welcome Holy Spirit. Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this vessel. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit just won't dwell anywhere. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to continue to hope and wait on God to fulfill His promises and to bless us, even though it may appear that evil is winning or that evil has more than you and I have. The Christian got to be careful with that evil thing. A lot of Christians are off base because we're following after the wrong stuff. Killing ourselves trying to make it. Got to have the people that stood in line for those phones. Some man flew in from Switzerland. I thought I told Sean that she could have brought him one. They could have paid her. He didn't know she was good. He flew in. And was some man had one, he didn't know how to work it. That's the kind of line we ought to have for prayer. Amen. But the world got stuff twisted. You got to be careful how you deal with the world. Now that we live in the world, we got to work at everything. So I'm not saying we totally pull ourselves away from the world, but have a perspective, have an understanding of the world system. That's why 1 John talks about the Antichrist is already in the world. It's not only a figure. It's not only a person. It is a system of belief. It is a world system. That's why you got folks marching now about 1% of the people of controlling all the money. That's a world system. That's not what God wanted. That's not what God intended. He didn't intend just for 1% of the people to have everything and 99% of the people not have anything. Well, I tell you, if you're a child of the King, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to occupy Wall Street. You can pray about it, but you don't have to worry about it because they don't have your 1% because everything you got, God gonna give it to you anyhow. And if you gotta get it from them, He'll go get it from them. He ain't got to hang around Wall Street all night long. Whatever God said He gonna give you, He gonna give you. That's why it says, fret not thyself for evildoers. Don't be all messed up. And I know how hard it gets sometimes. The folk living next door to you, they not right. They got everything. They buying $400 or $500 worth of groceries. They got the big car. They got gas in it. They got everything going on. You know they ain't right. And they laughing at you. You get them to go to church in your hoopty. Scraping up time money. They next door partying laughing at you. Fret not thyself. Because you know what? When he crashed the sky, where they going to go? You have to have a expectation mind. You got to have a mind of saying, I'm going to get what God has for me, no matter how long it takes me to get it. And if I don't get it in this life, when I get up. But it's not enough for some of us. Especially those of us that never had nothing. I got a problem with folks that never had nothing. You got something. You just don't know how to make an assessment on it.
Oh, you have. You got something. You got enough sense to do some things. You got enough sense to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got something. All that material stuff, that's temporal stuff. That stuff's going to fade away. All these people we look at think they got it going on. You ask them one day, they're not even happy. They're trying to buy more and more and more. They have no peace that passes all understanding. They have no joy. And there's nothing wrong with having things. There's a lot of Christians that got a whole lot of things, but the things don't have them. That's the key. Don't let the things have you. You can get things, and things can block you from serving God, block you from worshiping God, block you from praising God. Somebody look at me right now and say, Pastor, I hear you, but I need some of them things. They that wait upon the Lord. Amen. I got an answer for you. David in Psalm 37 gives the believer some warnings and instructions as to how to regard evildoers. The very first verse says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The word fret in Hebrew means don't get angry, don't get jealous to the point of wanting to compete or contend with or burn with anger toward them. Wow. Because they already got their end. They already got it. Matthew 6. If you pray in front of everybody, trying to get everybody to watch you, God said, I don't have to bless you because you got what you want already. I don't have to worry about that. Envious in Hebrew means move to jealousy. Don't be so envious of people that are wrong. Oh, my God. Did y'all get that? Don't be envious of people who are wrong. They're wrong. I don't care how they accumulated what they have. They are wrong. And don't be up there, don't be, telling them, oh, this is so nice. Stop encouraging them being wrong. Oh, you got a beautiful house. They done robbed 50 people to get it. Oh, this is so nice. Oh. You know they ain't right. You pray for them. I know we got to live with them, but you know you pray for them. You be a little careful with that encouraging people in nonsense. Iniquity means wrong, evil. It actually means morally perverted folk. They warped. Fret not thyself because the evildoers, neither thou envious against the workers of iniquity. In other words, it's basically saying, don't be jealous to the point of wanting to compete with those that do evil. Don't be jealous of them because they're perverted. Their minds are warped. This is what the Bible says. This is not what we're saying. I mean, be ready to fight when you tell them, my Bible says you're warped. You are a warped individual. You my friend, but you warped. I love you, but you warped. You know, you're an evildoer. I love you, man, but you're an evildoer. You my girl, but you're an evildoer, you know. You putting it down at evil. David further instructs us in Psalm 37 as to what to do instead of fretting over evildoers, instead of fretting over the equal workers of iniquity. He basically said God has a plan for them, but he also has a plan for you. Number one, David says in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Number one, Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord. That means to rely on the Lord, put confidence in the Lord. That means you got to have faith and you got to wait. When you trust in the Lord, you got to wait. You trust in the lottery, you got to wait till 6 o'clock. Yes, you do. I'm sorry, 5:58. Or 5:59, they come on. You got to wait. So you got to put confidence, it means to rely on the Lord, put confidence in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do what? And do good. Do what we know is right. How can I do that? The power of the Holy Spirit working in my life gives me the power and the ability to trust in the Lord and to also do good. Look at verse 3. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What does that mean? That you're going to have what you need if you trust in the Lord. Amen. You ain't got to go around ducking and diving, sneaking and hiding. Says, you shall have what you need, you shall dwell in the land, and really thou shalt be fed. That's all right. That's why you don't have to compete with the evildoers. That's how you don't have to fret, because they can't get yours. Oh, my God, my God. Let me move on. Jesus, help me with this one. Number two, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord.
So after you trust, you got to delight. Delight means to enjoy yourself in the Lord. Delight by thyself in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Somebody prayed about the desires of our heart. If you just delight in him, delight, I find joy in his ways. I find joy in the word of God. I find joy in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Delight thyself and also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do I have anybody here who's been trying to do this thing called life on their own and trying to cut corners and trying to be slick and you still come up short? You can't beat God's ways. So number one, you got to trust in the Lord. And number two, you got to delight in him. It means to enjoy yourself in the Lord. Then number three in verse five, he says, commit. Means to turn it over to the Lord. It's actually a figure of speech. It's like rolling over your care, responsibility into the hands of the Lord. It's like a rollover. Anybody ever have that thing that roll over that, you know, yeah, the IRA rollover? You ain't going to touch it. It's going to roll right over. And to the investor that you're going to. So, you know, when you see yourself, the evildoers and stuff, you must commit your way, give your way, you just roll it right over, don't touch it. Just roll your commitment right over to the Lord. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you need, God's going to bring it to pass. Don't worry about the evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. If you want to be like them, you're going to be cut off too. Oh, boy. Look at verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. You're going to shine for him. If you just trust in the Lord, delight in his ways, and commit your ways unto him. Then number 4, he says rest. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. That means to stand still and to hold one peace and to be quiet. Don't complain. Don't have a look what's happening to me. I don't know why God is doing it to me. I've been to church. I done paid my tithes. I done paid my offering. Was good to my old husband. I was good to my old wife. And he get on my nerve. I done this and I done that. I've been good. I done everything I know how to do. Rest in the Lord means to be still. And to know that God is God means to hold one peace, to stand still and be quiet and wait patiently for him. We need to learn how to wait. The world's got us messed up. We need to answer quick. And sometimes God does answer us quickly, but don't get spoiled. Sometimes he'll make us wait. Sometimes he will answer you quickly. But a lot of times, you just got to wait. And you can't wait on God. Who's going to do it for you? Anybody got some stuff on their petition plate that only God can do? You can't call up your homies. Nobody in the yellow or white pages can help you. God believes God designs our life like that sometimes so that you and I can stop calling folk and start calling him. There's some things that only God can do in our lives. So you got to rest in him. You got to wait on him. And we hate to wait. I ain't talking about waiting on the bus. I ain't talking about waiting for your check to come in the mail. I'm talking about waiting on the Lord. That's something totally different. Because the bus may never come. The mailman may never come. But God will show up. There's a different kind of wait. It's according to who you're waiting on. Some folks won't wait on some people because they have a reputation of never showing up. They call you and say, I'll be by to get you. You don't even get dressed. You say, yeah, right, Susan. You're going to be back in the air. But you know my freak is over. It's according to who you're waiting on and their reputation and your relationship with them. I wish I had somebody that knew what I was talking about. And remember, somebody call you and say, I'm going to do this and do that according to who it is and your relationship with them and their reputation with them. You determine whether or not you're going to wait. Somebody say, look here, Pastor, I'm going to buy you such and such. And I say, okay, I'll go get it myself because I know if I wait on them, Jesus will be. I ain't going to get mad. I love you for thinking about me, but don't lock the mind. But the Lord is good and worthy. Good thought. Some of us just need to be quiet sometimes. We say some stuff we can't fulfill. Just shut up. Please. In a nice way, just shut up. Stop promising stuff. Stop saying stuff. You're not going to do it. It just sounds good.
That's all. You know we ain't going to do it. Why you say that? Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. That's how you mess up your integrity, by promising people stuff. Stop being the big promiser. I'll do that for you. Oh, I'm sorry, I got caught up. I'm already catching the mind. So come on, don't put more on your plate than you can handle. Stop trying to be the big one. You're not the big one. You can't do all that stuff. It's only 24 hours in a day, and your life is jacked up like mine. What you going to do for everybody else? You're trying to get yours straight. Only say what you know you can do and commit to that. If you can't fulfill it, call somebody and say, look, I can't make it. We're not good at that. We're not good at paying the phones that can't make it. But we like to have folk waiting on us. Don't be fooled by the evildoers. Don't be fooled by that stuff. Don't be fooled, especially, you know, when you don't know how people are getting stuff. Be careful with that. Be careful about being envious of people who have stuff. Because stuff has them. Nothing wrong, I'm saying it again, nothing wrong with having stuff as long as the stuff does not have you. And get it honest. Soon it'll be tax time. Soon it'll be tax time. Soon it'll be tax time. How many of us gonna be honest? Christians? Did H&R block you from being realistic? You gotta be careful with that stuff. Because integrity is who you are in the dark. That's what it's all about. Why lie on a tax return and spend years scared that they're gonna audit you? Do what's right. You ain't got no 20 kids. Stop! You had 20 kids, IRS would come to your house and do your tax return for you. They'd be so sorry for you. Watch who prepares your taxes to. Watch the people, they tell you, oh, this is a loophole. Ain't no loophole. A loophole is a noose. Don't hang. Jesus. Verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. See, this is the word of the Lord. We read this and read right through it and go out here and just do the same old stuff. Being envious of people, being jealous of people, how they get this, how they get that. How about it get to the point, if something happened in your family, you want to know, why didn't take that bad kid down the street? Why my son get shot? Why my daughter get shot? Why didn't take them bad kids down? Why did baby kids down the street? Why didn't get them? Ooh, we talk rough. Yes, we do. How I'm going to get cancer? How come that old floozy down the street, I wish I had a witness in here. Come on. How come the one down the street doesn't ask about husband, how come he get cancer? Y'all don't want to hear that today. We don't think like, oh my God. We Christians, but we got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We need to be mindful of what we say and how we feel and mindful of our emotions. Boy, we got some stuff with us. That's why I'm so glad God has a thing called forgiveness. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Sometimes I got to go repent. I said, Lord, why did I say that to that for? Because sometimes I'm quick off the lip sometimes. I'm quick off the lip, you know. I hate when people open up the door wide for me. Don't invite. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Leave it hanging like that. No. Clean it up while I get there, you know. I'm going to say something. I'm getting better at it. Because God gets to the point, he makes you repent right in front of the person now. Like, oh, I don't like that. Because that reduces the impact of what I just said to him. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Really, at that point, I wasn't. When Jesus come back, y'all won't have a perfect pastor. I'm sorry. Amen. Evildoers shall be cut off. And sometimes when you can't contend with them and you don't be arguing with them, God's got to pray for them. As a matter of fact, from your walk, they may get to know Christ. Because I find folks that think they got it going on, every now and then, they need a Christian to talk to.
Every now and then they want to talk to somebody that got a little peace that passes all understanding, a little joy that is unspeakable. And you thinking you don't have anything, you got more than that. You got Jesus, and that's enough. I know that's kind of hard to put in your mind. If I got Jesus, and that's enough, how come they got all that? But they soon be cut off. See, they have a temporal plan. You got an eternal plan. My God, that's the difference. Their stuff going to fade away, cut off, but your stuff is going to last. And I tell you, if you don't get the car on this life, you're going to get some wings in glory. You're going to a place don't need no car. That's the way you got to think. Think future. Think futuristic. Have a spirit of expectation. God, I'm here. I can't go nowhere. Did God tell you that? Stop saying what God didn't tell you to say. Put that thing in prayer and say, God, I feel like I can't move. I feel like I can't go anywhere. But God, in the name of Jesus, I know that you know that everything in the world, I know you as creator. I know you as the great I am God. I know a cattle on a thousand hills, God, belongs to thee, O Lord. I know you can do anything but fail. I know promotion comes from the east, doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. Promotion comes from the north. So God, I praise you right now. I'm a rest in you. I'm a be still. I'm a delight in you. And you're not lying to yourself. You're not denying yourself. You should be going on with the Lord. But this is how the believers should respond to evildoers and workers of iniquity who appear to be doing better than we are. But the believer must remember there's a major difference in their destiny and in your destiny. The workers of iniquity are going down, but the believers have eternal life. You see, as believers, the word of God says in John 16:33b, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 10:10b says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And see, that's the difference, because the evildoer shall be cut off. But you and I have all these promises from God. God is not a man where he should lie. That's why when you talk to evildoers, the natural man cannot receive the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. Of course, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They think you're crazy. They think they got more than you, because the enemy has their mind. The enemy has blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's your job to hold on to what God promised you. Amen. There's nothing that the enemy has. There's nothing that an evildoer has that is better than what God promised me. I don't want to be cut off. I didn't come here to be cut off. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I can enjoy my life as a kingdom citizen. Amen. Oh, I'm a citizen of Philadelphia, but the kingdom citizenship is totally different. It's not dependent on me or another. It's dependent on me or God. But every now and then we get caught up. David says, don't fret, because Jeremiah 29 says God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life. Let him unfold the plan. And if you really want God to unfold the plan in your life, stop ducking and dodging God. Get in there. Stay in his will. Be committed. Let God unfold the plan. And when he unfolds the plan, there's some valleys and there's some mountaintops. There's some hallelujah days and there's some hallelujah lords. That's life. Be real. We live in an imperfect world, and we're not perfect human beings yet. So every now and then we're going to get some challenges in life, but that don't mean you lost. Oh, glory be to God. You're not a loser. Lift up your head. Be encouraged. That happened, but guess what? Something else can happen. Don't walk around being defeated. Don't walk around telling yourself, I've been like this all my life. You know why? Because you don't want nothing else. Somebody messed you up at a young age and told you weren't going to be nothing, and you believed it. And everything you attempt to do, you think you're going to fail. So you go with a spirit of failure. And to the spirit of God, say, hey, God, you sent me here, and I'm going to do the best I can for your glory. That's the way you got to do this thing. But, Pastor, you don't understand. Everything I touch just fails. Well, stop touching it. Let God touch it first. When you going to go with the Lord, let the Lord lead you sometimes. I'm scared of testimony service sometimes. Oh, you get some horrible stories. You get some stories sometimes. Folks run out of church.
Because you don't get the A and the B, you just get an A.
You don't tell what he did for you.
Pastor, I've been going through for 20 years. Well, how come you're still here?
The Lord kept me. Oh, I wish somebody would tell the rest of the story. The Lord kept me these 20 years. The enemy wanted to take me out of here, but the Lord kept me. They couldn't find the stuff on the x-ray. The Lord healed my body. Oh, glory be to God. But Pastor, man, everything around me is falling down. Well, don't you fall down. As you do fall down, pray your way up. Oh, my. We just like to look for the bad part. Ugh. We don't even know how to have a good day anymore. You have a good day, you be looking around like, when the other shoe going to drop? Now, you don't deserve a good day. Stop telling yourself that. Get the enemy out of your life. Get the enemy out of your mind. Get the enemy out of our spirits. Get the enemy out of our hearts. I don't care how rough your life is. It doesn't always have to continue to be rough. You need a spirit of expectation. You got to get in the Word and find out, what did God promise me? What did God say? I remember Charles Stanley said, every time something jumps off in my life, I go in the Word of God and find something that's similar to what I'm going through. And whatever God did, I read up on that thing. And I begin to pray that thing. And then I begin to believe that thing. I begin to walk in that thing. We had one preacher one time say, guess what? Healing does not always take place right away. Some folks are healed right away. Some folks are healed in a progression. Amen. But as long as you know that God said it, you're going to be healed. Stop listening to what everybody else say. What did God say to you? Don't be fooled. And don't be fooled by some of these pulpits. And don't be fooled by some of these churches where they're not preaching what thus saith the Lord. Be careful with popularity. Be careful with all that emotional preaching and all that kind of stuff that you leave here, and all you got was the itching of the ear for those solidification of your heart in Christ. Oh, you got to be careful. Be careful all that glitter that's not gold. Be careful all these different robes and all this different stuff if the man ain't saying nothing. I tell you, when you hear somebody preach, don't say yes if they ain't said nothing. Say no. Ain't saying nothing. Say yeah. I ain't saying yeah. I get mad. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't told me nothing. I gave you an offer for nothing. You ain't said nothing. I'm still hungry. You have not fed me. Mary had it on there. Say yes. No. Give me some substance. That's exactly why every preacher come and say, Pastor, your people love the Word. I say, they know the Word. They are Word literate. You can up here with some nonsense if you want to. But most of those people I don't know. Or they're not welcome here. Hey, amen. Why should I have people coming in to feed us junk when we can go right down the street to the store? Let me get all the candy and junk we need at the store. People don't get up on Sunday morning to get dressed and pressed away when they had a hard week to come into the church and hear a bunch of junk to be preaching. Study to show thyself self-approved. Someone say, Pastor, well, what you do all week? You ain't got no word for me? Well, you been sick? You ain't got nothing to say to me? They got a right to say, but that's what the whole idea was. That's why the Levites were supposed to work. They're supposed to pay attention to the Word of God. And the other people worked and brought the stuff to the temple to make sure the temple could run. The tithes and offerings come to church to make sure the church could run, because the preachers and the pastors are supposed to be in the Word, digging in the Word. Amen. Sometimes you might have to stop and go to the hospital. You might do a funeral here and there, but you're supposed to be digging in that Word so you can feed God's people on Sunday morning. Amen. They need to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. They ought to be able to check you. That's why preaching is the proclamation of God's word. It's not the proclamation of me. I know you look at me strange, but God called me. He knew I was crazy when he called me. He called me in my personality. Yes, he did. There's a praying church. They pray for me all the time. They wonder who they got up in the pulpit sometimes. I hear it all the time. I'd be walking through, Pastor, so crazy. My wife don't even look up no more. But she in the pulpit, she don't look up no more. She put her head down. She said, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Woo, Lord. I don't know what the problem is. I think it's fun. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Let's close out. Every time you think evil is winning, you need to remember that yours is eternal and theirs is temporary. If that's not enough, you can turn to Revelation 21 with me. Sometimes you need a reminder. You need a refresher. Turn to Revelation 21. Just take your word with you. Every time you feel down and out, like stuff can't happen for you, God forgot about you, remember how it's going to end. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look at Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That means all that stuff been cut off. All the evildoers, all that mess been cut off. And I, John, saw the holy city. New Jerusalem. That blows my mind because I always talk about going to heaven. Look like heaven going to come to me. But okay. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, those in Psalm 37, the evildoers, they don't get this. They don't have a revelation. They don't have a new heaven. They don't have a new Jerusalem. Lord, they're not waiting for God to tabernacle with them. They had their stuff already. Fast cars. Loose living. They got it already. Got their reward. Got everything they wanted down here. They weren't looking for anything else. But for those of us that wait on the Lord, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I love verse 4, because I always tell you, this is the tissue church. We use a lot of Kleenex. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more reason to cry. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If that's not good enough, turn to Revelation 22. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Look at Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I know some ladies used to come singing, when I see Jesus. The one that died. You've got to have a spirit of expectation. But I need to let you know before we close out today, there is a crucifixion, but there's a resurrection. Pastor, what you trying to say? I saw a young man in the barbershop the other day. I said, hey, how you doing, man? I heard you got a church. He said, yeah, I got a church. I said, how's it going? He said, doing okay. He said, but every now and then I remember they crucified Jesus. I said, yeah, they crucified Jesus. But don't forget, he got up. Man, he said, thank you. People need to be encouraged. I come to let you know that you might be going through something, but don't forget about the resurrection. That's not how the story is. In 3 days, he rose again. You shall get up. You shall resurrect. You shall come out of this pile of mess, this pile of depression, this pile of oppression, this pile of sickness, this pile of confusion. God shall raise you up. Don't be fooled by all this other stuff. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, I should have married him. Oh, I should have married her. No! God's got you no matter where you are. You commit your way to him. You trust in him. You delight in him. And you rest in him. He's got you. How can I say that? Because all things work together for the good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Oh, I know you messed up, and I messed up, and I know there's some bad decisions that I made, some bad decisions that you made, but once I turn that thing over to Jesus, ain't nobody worried whether it was a plus or a minus. I don't know how he does it. I don't know what kind of math God uses, but all I know is that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Some things that you and I have been through, we had to go through. If you didn't go through it, you wouldn't be where you are. Some of the folks in your life that try to mess you up, you ought to send them a thank you card. Because when they mess with you, that's when you stood up, that's when you looked up, that's when you got up, that's when you prayed up, that's when you tied up, that's when you packed up, that's when you got to where you are. I come to let you know today, all hope is not lost. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm a Christian and I'm glad about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Fret not thyself for evildoers. Stop playing Christianity. Get real. Get real with it. Mom went to a funeral one time, so they was making some remarks, and she's about, yeah, get jiggy with it. I said, what's she talking about? So I said, get real with it. I didn't know what she's talking about. People around me ain't know. Get real with it. So I said, maybe she meant get real with it. Because her friend had died. But she's trying to tell you about get your life together. Get your life together. Stop playing church. Stop being on the suburbs of Christianity. If you read the book of Acts, it says there's great joy in the city. You need to come into the city. That's where the joy is. You need to come to the cross. Come to Christ. All of us got stories about churches and how this church didn't do this and how this church didn't do that. But what did God do wrong to you? Go find you a church where you can worship in. And you know, it's not going to be perfect. A church is one of those kind of families, you know. What they call those families? Dysfunctional. I'm sorry for telling the truth. You got everything in the church. When people come join the church, don't lie to them. Oh, this is such a beautiful, holy, perfect place. Lie, lie, lie. On some of my best days, we're beautiful, perfect, and holy. But most of the time, we're working on it. Most of the time, we're trying to get this thing together. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're striving towards perfection. You don't know what's going to happen in the church. We give no guarantees. I don't know what somebody might say to you or do to you. They might fight you in the bathroom. I don't know. They might have had a bad day like the way you looked at them. I wish I had been a real Christian. So that's working on this thing. Hallelujah. Let us all stand. Be real with it. Be real with it. Come on, be real with it.